I want to go to Romans, here in chapter 1. I'm going back to Romans 4, first of all. Remember last Sunday, we were looking at Abraham and looking at Abraham as an example of how we receive the promises of God. We looked at that scripture in James where the prayer of a righteous person prevails much, is powerful and effective. And we're looking here that we're speaking about a righteousness that is revealed in this gospel of God. We've been speaking about a righteousness that is by faith. We're not speaking about a righteousness that is by human effort to try and become right with God, to try and please God. We're dealing with a righteousness that is a gift from God, the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed and credited to our lives, as we looked at some time back. And so Paul writes, and he gives here an example of Abraham. It is not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. And so we notice here that the promise that God fulfilled in Abraham's life was because Abraham simply believed and he had received the gift of righteousness. And now, because of that gift of righteousness, his position that he has now before God, because he simply believed, now as he believed in that promise, and that's how he received the promise. And it's exactly the same today. You and I, because we believe in Christ Jesus, we have been credited righteous, so we are in a position of righteousness. So when you and I pray with a faith in our heart, this God gift faith that he has given to us, as you and I pray in the name of Jesus, we start to receive the promises. Okay? And that is why, therefore, the promise comes by faith, that is by grace, and may be guaranteed to all of us. And so we begin to see, when we looked at Romans 5 now, that there's this realm of grace that we're in, this we have access into this grace. All of this that we're looking at is part of seeing our prayers answered. It's part of seeing the promise of God that he has given to you and I to be manifested. Again, not because we are praying harder, not because we're praying the correct words, not because we're fasting, not because we're going to church, not because we're doing all these good works. No, it's because we simply believe when God spoke to us about his son Jesus, we simply believed, and because we simply believed that pure, simple faith that God gave us, we simply believed God imputed his son's righteousness upon us. That's the bottom line. Nothing else. It's because we simply believe. And now we're becoming conscious of living in this righteousness gift that God has given us. That's what we're looking at in Romans 5. That's this place of grace that you and I stand. Okay, it's all about God, and we're going to go deeper into that over there. Now, just to help, this may be this quickly helpful, some of the questions that we were people were asking before we carry on. In Romans chapter 1, and then verse 16 and 17, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And so, again, we've spent a lot of time in that scriptures, but just to reemphasize over here that Paul is, again, he's an apostle to the Gentiles, because there's always a question about the law, the law, the law, the law. I want to just give you something that may help you understand this. You know, we've done a lot, but why does Paul, as an apostle to the Gentiles, why does Paul refer to the law so much when he's speaking to the Gentiles that were not given the written law? Although the Gentiles is the non-Jewish people. The Gentiles, all of mankind, has the requirements of the law in the very heart of man. God has placed that righteous requirement. So there's that moral standard in humanity that God has placed because we're made in his image. Okay, despite it being so corrupted and so forth like that and suppressed, etc., etc., it's in mankind. And that's why in Romans 2, there it speaks about the written law for the Jews, but also God will judge the Jewish people according to the written law, but he will judge the Gentiles according to the law that's in the heart of man and with man's conscience. Okay, and that's why all have sinned and there's no one without excuse. Now, Paul uses, remember now, as Paul is ministering to the Gentiles, the Jewish religion is very strong. And the Gentiles are simply believing the gospel. They just believe in the gospel. The Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, are coming into the believers' fellowship and saying, no, you can't just believe in Jesus. You've got to add on this. You've got to do this. You've got to add on all these laws. And so Paul's message all the time, he's saying, okay, guys, this is what's happening, but I want to use the Jews as an example of how the law did not work. And that's why Paul so often in his letters, and he speaks there to, speaking to the Gentile community, he's saying, guys, Israel is the example. Abraham believed and he was credited righteous. 430 years later, God gave the law. He gave the law for a purpose, so that mankind can become conscious of what sin is all about. And so the law had a place to bring the reality of what sin is all about. And so now the Jewish nation is the witness, is the testimony of how the written law, the incredible moral perfection of God, they could not meet up to that, and they kept on falling from those Ten Commandments. And so Paul is saying, you see, righteousness could not come by the Jewish nation. Look at the Jewish nation. Now they want to come and bring that teaching into your freedom, and they could not keep up. They kept on falling. They could not become righteous. Why do you want to go that route where there's a gift of righteousness that comes from God, and that is in his son Jesus Christ? Simply believe. Just simply believe in the credible gospel. You received the Holy Spirit because you simply believed, not by any works, nothing like that. Simply believed. And that's why Paul uses the life of Israel bound by the law to testify, to show the Gentiles it does not work. There's a new way. There's a good news in the gospel of God. A righteousness of God is now revealed, and it's by faith that you receive this and you credited this, and now you live in that simple reality of simply believing and live in the reality of the gift of righteousness. Okay, and so that's why. So that may just be helpful for some folk in understanding why he often uses the law in that. Remember in John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace, the good news, the grace of God comes in and through his son Jesus Christ to all of humanity. Okay, he comes from the Father full of grace and truth. And it carries on, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. But only Christ is busy making has made him known. And that's what we're looking, that's what truth is all about. It's the revelation of God through his son, Jesus Christ. Moses couldn't do that. Only Christ can give you the revelation of the Father, because he's been with the Father, and now he's showing us, teaching us. So here we see over here that for you and I to have access into this realm of grace, what takes place over there? We know that this realm of grace that we have access to is only in and through his son, Jesus Christ, not in anything else that we do, not in anything else that we do. It's simply, it's a gift that God has given to you and I. this righteousness that we have in Christ Jesus. And so this is how now we begin to learn, how do we stand in this? How do we live in the reality of what Christ has done for our lives, who he is, and so forth? Let me read you a scripture over here in Ephesians chapter 1. And again, it's in the most incredible scripture. It's a prayer that Paul is praying, and he speaks over here. Well, let's go in verse 3 first of all. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Straight away, we notice over there, again, we get caught up. And in the Old Covenant, we see over there that there's an understanding because of the obedience and disobedience. If you're obedient, you prosper. So wealth and prosperity was for many the sign of obedience of righteousness, okay? But all of a sudden, we come into the New Testament, and we are no longer earthly bound. We now are in a kingdom. We're in the spiritual reality of the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom of light in which his son dwells. We are citizens of heaven. And all of a sudden, something shifts. Now we see over here that this grace of God that we have in Christ Jesus, we have, it's not we will be, we have been blessed in every spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenly places. This is the realm of grace in Christ Jesus. This is part of the good news that that is concerning his son. It's coming through his son, Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth. He is the way for you and I to live in the abundance of grace. There's no other way. Okay. And so we carry on, and we see here in verse 22. Well, let me go to verse 21. Concerning Jesus, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. What does this mean? Wonderful scripture, but what does this actually mean? I don't know about you, but I want to enter into the reality of the scripture. But notice this. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to us. God the Father has given us his son Christ, who is head over everything, who's above all power, all authority. He's given his son to you and I, the body of Christ, his family, with his body. See, as you and I are going to now grow more into this, having this access into this grace in which we now stand, this is what's going to open up the reality of this incredible truth here in verse 22, Ephesians 1, verse 22. This is part of the reality of what it means to pray in the name of Jesus Christ, so that the Father will be glorified in us as his family and in his son Jesus Christ. He has put all things, our heavenly Father has put all things under the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ, and has given him as head over all things to us as his family. Isn't that an incredible promise? No longer must this be a fridge magnet. May the Spirit now begin just to take us into the outworking, into the manifestation, into the lifestyle of living in the reality of this truth. So when I was reading this Romans chapter 5, and when I stopped and I thought, what does this mean? That now that we have gained through Christ Jesus, now that we've been justified by faith, now that we have peace, we're no longer enemies. There's this incredible reconciliation. Now that we have this incredible peace with God, and now through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have gained access by faith into this grace, not by anything else, by simply believing. We have gained grace in faith into this grace in which we now stand. I began to ask myself, what does this really mean? Because I want to live in the reality of this more than I've ever lived before. And that began the journey with me. Now, as God began to give understanding more and more and so forth. So I want to just start with a quick, you know, if anybody wants the definition of grace, you're not going to get it. It's too big. There's no little words in English that can define grace. We've got the definitions, you know, unmerited favor and so forth, undeserved favor. We've got all of those definitions. But grace, God is gracious. So grace is who he is. And that's why you can't define God. God needs to reveal himself. That's why the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed to you and I. The Spirit makes it known. And that's why Paul always prays that maybe we have the spirit of wisdom, that we may know him better. So the reality of what grace is all about, we're going to grow into that. And the Spirit of God is going to take us, and he is going to open up the reality of this incredible grace of God, this abundant grace, this realm, this place that we now stand in. What's it all about over there? So I cannot give you a definition of grace. It's just, there's no English word. Okay. We're going to walk in it and experience. And as we experience, we say, wow, this is grace. And then a week's time, we're going to say, wow, I didn't know this, but this is grace. And we're just going to step and step and step more and more into the manifestation of God's glorious grace. You see, God is eternal. His grace is eternal. It's far greater than our human mind and comprehension. His thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our thoughts. And just join me in saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to just say, teach me what your grace is. Take me into the reality. I want to live in that. And I thank you. I just by faith receive the fact that I'm in the realm of your grace. I stand in your grace. And I wanted just to grow deeper in that, over there, in the reality of that grace. So, first of all, what I wanted to share concerning grace, there are two. I think if we wanted to get a bit of a starting point, there's two attributes, characteristics that we find when the word grace is used in Scripture. We find these two attributes of God. There's the character of God, this nature of God there. And that is, first of all, the active love of God. Second of all, it's about the gifts. Okay? Now, when we speak about the active love of God, we see over here that the active love of God is poured out upon mankind. So when we see then John 3, for instance, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Notice the word gave, it's gift. He gave his one and only begotten son. So here's the active love of God being manifested in and through his son Jesus Christ to all humanity, even though we were still sinners, even though we were enemies of God. So that's where that sort of undeserved favor comes into the picture over here. And so God is very active in pouring out his love and demonstrating his love upon all mankind, even though we deserve something totally different. Okay. So we see that in the operation of this grace of God on his nature, on God who is a gracious God. We see that coming through. Now that's why the law came through Moses, but grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. This is the good news. So now, once again, we see this incredible love of God being demonstrated, being made known through his son Jesus Christ to all of humanity. The gifts. What we speak about the gift is this, that the active love of God comes in a form of a gift. And so we see, for God so loved the world that he gave. It's a gift. That's That's the active form of God's love. We always see when grace is being mentioned, we all see there it's coming in a form of a gift. So we see over there righteousness. It's a gift from God. Salvation is a gift from God. Eternal life is a gift from God. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. Spiritual gifts is a gift from God. All of this, that's the manifestation of this incredible grace of God working. So you and I, we become very conscious now that as we are now abiding, we now have access into this faith in which we now stand. These two things that are manifesting, this aspects of God's nature, is that there's the active love of God that is operating, that is being made known to us, and there's this active love of God is coming in a form of a gift that is in and through His Son Jesus Christ. Christ is the gift. Okay, all that He has done, everything that He has done. So when we are praying in the name of Jesus, we're entering into the realm of this grace, and we are receiving by faith what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and I. It's God's grace operating. We're living in that there. Where are you and I in this position? We are not trying to earn God's favor. We're not trying to do good works. We're not trying to be perfect. We're not trying to do all of those things to try and get God's favor and try and get God's grace flowing into our lives. No, we simply believe we received the gift of God, His Son Jesus Christ. Now we are in this place of grace. Okay, because it's through Him we now have access into this incredible realm of grace. And this word access just simply means the doors are open. You and I, we now entered in. We Paul writes another, remember in Galatians 5, when he speaks about the Galatians, and he's speaking about that because the religious leaders are trying to get you to obey the law, and if you're going to obey the law, now you're going to remove yourself from the grace of God. We stand in the reality of what Christ has done, simply believing on Christ, so that we stay in the flow, we stay in the reality of the grace of God. Okay. So these are the two things that are very strong in our lives. Now that is why in Ephesians chapter 3, what do we see there? Paul prays, and he in a few of his prayers, he's praying for the revelation of God's love in and through His Son Jesus Christ. He's praying for the revelation not only of the act of love, but the gift that He has given to you and I, and that is His Son Jesus Christ. The gift of the inheritance, the gift of faith, the gift of all but what you and I have over there. And so he prays that prayer in Ephesians 3:14. For this reason I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, the riches of His glory, we're dealing again with the reality of His incredible grace, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, just a role of faith again, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the measure of the fullness of God. So that is why there's so much focus of Paul's prayers for you and I to be established in the love of God, because that's you and I being established in the reality of the grace of God in which we now stand. Okay, so as we go on to this journey, these two are the characteristics that we will see, the nature of God being revealed, His active love that is flowing, even though we may have had an argument with our spouse, even though we may have felt like we failed as a parent or whatever the case may be, That's all your own. That's all your opinion. It's not God's opinion. And so now you and I, even though we feel that we don't deserve, God is actively pouring his love because he has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so we know that that gift of the Holy Spirit, that's God's grace. That's his active love operating within us, manifesting within our lives. But sometimes we don't realize it. So Paul is praying, Father, by your Holy Spirit, enable the body of Christ, enable us as your family to grasp this so that we may be rooted and established in this love of God, so that we may be rooted and grounded in this love. We may be rooted and grounded in this grace in which we now stand. In other words, okay, I'm just putting it another way in the context of this morning. Now, this word stand, as we just come to an end of here, this word stand, again, it's a beautiful word because it means stability. It's speaking about able to handle resistance. It's speaking about being in a place where you're not going to be slipping and sliding. It's speaking about a place where we are positioned. So we begin to understand that by faith, because of what Christ has done for us, we simply believed there was a day when God spoke to you and I, Christ became real, we simply accepted that, and the moment we simply believed God, we were credited righteous. We have been declared righteous. Remember, credited, impartation means, imputed means, what is in the thoughts of God belongs to you and I. God's way God was thinking about this and his thoughts was that you simply believe my son, and if you believe my son, my righteousness belongs to you. So you and I now, we've received that gift of righteousness. Okay? So we have access. We are in this place of grace in which we now stand. What resistance is there that is able to remove us from this position that you and I stand in? The moment you and I become conscious of the fact that we have access through Christ Jesus into this place, we stand here, when we just begin to understand that because we are standing, we are in that position, because we are standing in grace, because we are standing in the incredible active love of God, because we are standing in the act of God, the active love of God that has been given to us via a gift, not what we have done, because we are standing in what Christ has done for you and I, what can remove us from that? See, and that is why Paul, and we quote this so often, but this is why Paul begins to speak about this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. See, we're standing in the reality of God's grace. He's actively involved with his love in our lives despite the storms. Remember, the wise and the foolish all had the storms, except the wise stood because they were rooted and established on the word of God. The others didn't, but the storms are the same. The same with you and I. Remember, our bodies have not yet been redeemed. Okay? And so our bodies, we still face all the issues. We still go through the trials and all that kind of stuff over there and that. But because we are standing in the active love of God and the incredible gift that God has given to us, a gift of righteousness, because we're standing in that, we know that all things are working out for our good because of God's love for us. In other words, his grace. Okay? And then he carries on. What then shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Why? Because we're standing in this grace. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Every gift that God gives is comes through his Son, Jesus Christ. This is what grace is all about. So, graciously give us all things. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. So many people want to condemn you, etc. No, no, no. God justifies. And so in Christ Jesus, he's declared there's no condemnation. Simply believe that and start to renew the mind and live in that truth. The more we renew our mind, the more we are transformed, the more inside we begin to experience the reality of this truth. Who will bring any charge? Sorry, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Why? Because we have access into this grace in which we now stand. That is why Paul can write this. This is our reality. That is why you and I are finding, despite things falling apart, despite all that, you and I are finding ourselves standing. Why? Because we're in the grace. That's the working of God's grace. We are experiencing what grace is all about. We're experiencing the active love of God. We are still standing, and we're experiencing the incredible gift of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God within us that is enabling us to be able to know his love, that is enabling us to be able to know truth, enabling us to be able to live in the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Guys, I cannot emphasize this more. The gospel, God's good news to mankind, comes in and through his Son Jesus Christ. And as you and I have believed in him, wow, guys, we now, everything about this good news of God is made known to us. We begin to live in it. And the more we become conscious of us abiding in this grace of God, the more we experience the revelation of what grace is all about, the nature of God, the more we experience the operation of the grace of God. And as we go on, God willing, next Sunday, we will notice over there that just as Jesus grew in wisdom and grace, so you and I grow in grace, become more, we learn more. That's why it's grace upon grace, the abundant grace. Just as we will find over there that in Paul's suffering with the thorn in the flesh, there's a reality of grace operating there. And so we're going to learn how to participate more and more with this incredible active love of God, with this incredible gift that is given to us to live in the reality of the gifts that is given to us, and to grow more and more, so that as we looked at that Ephesians 1 and looked at that verse 22, that God who has placed all things under the feet of Jesus Christ, who is exalted, all things are under his feet. He rules every name above, his name's above every other name. Everything about our Lord Jesus Christ, that reality of Christ, he has given to you and I as his family, as the body of Christ. And we want to learn to walk in the fullness of this, so that the fullness of God is made known in the communities that we stay in, so we can fulfill the Great Commission with the evidence of walking in this truth. And that's what this is all about. So God bless. And as we have communion, just maybe meditate on that Romans chapter 5 and meditate there on that incredible scripture over there. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. You and I are able to handle the resistance that comes our way, the resistance of condemnation, the resistance of failure, the resistance of the enemy, whatever. And that's why even with Peter and James, they're both quite the same scripture over there. Humble yourselves. God gives grace to the humble. Resist the enemy. So as you and I just, we've humbled ourselves by not saying, well, this is all what I've done. I've tried to earn favor of God. I've simply believed. I've simply accepted what God has done for us. And now we're in that place where we are able to resist because we're standing in the grace of God. This is going to be very important as we see what's happening in our nations, what's still going to be happening. Because as believers, we stand firm, we are stable, we are sure-footed, we are anchored in this grace of God. We know there that nothing can come, even if death, sickness, whatever that comes our way over there, we know that nothing's going to separate us from this love of God. And we live in the reality of being loved by God. It's not a fridge magnet. We live in the reality. I have discovered more and more that in the hope that Scripture speaks about is so alive. It's so real. Again, you can't put a definition to the reality of this hope that is in us as believers, but it's very real hope, and because of the gift, because of what Christ has done. So you and I, despite everything, we find that there's this powerful hope that's alive within us. And it's incredible. So celebrate Jesus as we have communion this morning. So Father, thank you that your good news to humanity comes in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. And you have made him known to us. Please, by your Holy Spirit, we ask, make it known to the nations. Let us as your family be bold in sharing the gospel. Let us be bold in communicating your love in whatever way, so that men and women all over, the children all over, our communities all over, can experience this grace in which we now stand, touching their lives as well. Thank you that you have placed us in communities. Father, you love a community so much. You love everybody in the community. We want to thank you for your family. And so we ask by your Holy Spirit, take us into the understanding that you, Father, have given us. You have given us your Son, Jesus Christ, who is head over all things. You've given him to us as a gift. We ask, help us to understand that, so that we can walk in the fullness of that. And this we ask. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you've given your life so that we have access into this realm of grace. Thank you that God's goodness, God's grace, God's act of love and the gift of salvation has come through you. Thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we just eat together as a family. We break the bread. We thank you for your body. Thank you that you came in humanity. Thank you that you did not come from the tribe of Levi, but from David, bringing in a whole new covenant that we can live in now. So we want to thank you for your blood that's made atonement so that our sins are forgiven. Thank you for the reality of being righteous because of what you have done. And because of what you have done, we were able to receive the Holy Spirit. Because of the gift of righteousness, nothing about ourselves, but because of the gift of what you have done, we were able to receive the Holy Spirit. So lead us by your Spirit into all truth. And this we want to ask, Father, in the name and through your Son, Jesus. Amen. 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 Good understanding of grace as well. In the original language, again, it's pictured as God leaning forwards. God is freely extended, leaning forward to give himself away to us, because he is willing to bless us. He's willing to love. It's in his nature. And it's, for me, that's always such an incredible picture when we realize, wow, we're in this grace. If you can just picture our Heavenly Father leaning forward to you, I'm willing through his Son Jesus just to minister, to touch your life, because through his Son we have been blessed in every way. And it's now receiving that. And that's why it's in this place of grace where his power is made perfect in our weaknesses. It's in this place of grace that we're able to stand because of the Spirit of God enabling us. It's because of this place of grace that we are in, that we find there that despite everything there, we're on a rock, we're on a solid foundation, we've been built upon our Lord Jesus Christ. We are established in his love for us, and we're rooted in that love, we're grounded in that love, and we just find it such an anchor for us over there. So may the Father, by the Holy Spirit, just really enable you and I to be able to grasp his incredible love that is found in and through his Son Jesus Christ, the depth, the width, the height, incredible length of this incredible love of God. May you and I become very conscious. And I believe that's why Paul would always start his letters, and he would say, grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ be with us. And so that which is already established in heaven, that's the part of the keys of the kingdom. We open it up and we release that. So God's grace and peace be upon us in and through his Son, Jesus Christ, for his honor and for his glory. Amen. Amen.